Certainly appreciate the songs this morning.
Amen.
From the song service when we came in early but late, all the way through the special songs. We surely appreciate the young people, as already been expressed. And thinking of a couple of phrases with a couple of songs that were sung, one of them about "I need thee."
Yes.
And truly, I feel that this morning myself, but I think we all should feel that. None of us are adequate within ourselves, as the scripture says, but it's all in the Lord. He has everything. And also, what the young men were singing there at the last, that "I will follow thee, I'll follow the Lord." And I think that's good advice for all of us. It's amazing how the Lord works. I know everyone can stand up and testify for hours, as Sister Lene was mentioning earlier, about the goodness of the Lord and how faithful He is to lead us like a gentle shepherd, to lead us as poor little helpless sheep, that truly we can't find our way alone. We are so helpless. There's another song that's a favorite of mine that says, "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." And how true that is, that we have to lean so hard on the Lord, and that's how it should be. God is pleased with that. So I desire your prayers this morning as I share a little thought. And perhaps I'm going to draw a little something on the board. And while I'm drawing this, if we could sing a couple of verses of number 111 in our songbook, "God's Way is Best." If you could sing that until I'm done at the board there, I'd appreciate it.
God's way is best in human wisdom.
And I know everyone else in this room can testify to that too. But I have drawn on the board, I don't know that you call it a drawing, but anyway, there is some dots on the board, kind of crude. And a person could look at those dots and think, well, what is that? Is that some type of code? Or perhaps is that cities on a map without the roads drawn on there? Or maybe some would think, is it modern art? Yes, there is some strange modern art out there. But no, there is something there. And again, I drew it a little crudely. I'm looking at it, and I could have done a little better on some of it. But anyway, it'll work. But there is something there. I see something already. But the trick is, I'm the one that designed it. All right? I'm the author of it. I'm the one that put these dots up there for a reason. There is something there. And you'll see here in a little bit. See a little clearer what it is. But you know, that's life in general. So many times it doesn't matter how old we are. Whether we're 15, whether we're 35, 55, 75, it doesn't matter. But sometimes we can look at life, our lives, and even the lives of others, and all we see is just a mess of dots. We're like, Lord, what are you doing here? This doesn't make sense. It's not adding up. I don't see anything. It's just dots. And you know, as humans, God gives us the right to choose. Do we want to choose to trust and believe that the author of this wonderful plan of salvation does have a plan for our life? It's not just a mess of dots. There is something there that God desires for all of us. And Brother Ivan actually touched on the scripture that I want to read here in a little bit. We'll read it in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And before we read the scripture, I want to lay this foundation. That God has a plan for all of us. Whether you find yourself saved, sanctified, unsaved, it doesn't matter where you're at. God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
And you know, something I remember Brother Ed Wilson many times expounded on this thought. That God is a God of order. You know, it goes beyond any of our personalities. There's some personalities that are just naturally free-for-all, you know. Just kind of wing it all the time. There's not really much order. You can tell when you walk into the bedrooms, too. But there's some folks that are much more orderly, naturally. Their personality is. They like things in order. And that's good. It doesn't really matter because we're all human. We have the right to express ourselves as God would have us to, within reason.
Yes.
But the point is, God, and you look at His creation, and I know this is already brought out recently, but you know the eclipse that we had recently was amazing. And perhaps some of you all read up and heard some of the stories going around about how it's amazing how God orchestrated that. And it was not an accident that He made it so perfectly that the moon was just the perfect size to 100% block out the sun. It wasn't a little bit smaller and it wasn't a little bit bigger. It was the perfect size to block out the sun. That was order of God. And there's so many other things about God's creation that's just amazing. It blows me away how God can do all that. But if He can do that in nature, how much more can He do that in our lives? To bring order to our lives. And though it may not look and make sense for a while, but in the end, it makes sense. And it adds up. And it's a beautiful picture that God can create. So God has a plan. He wants to, in some cases, we heard about it last night, the minds, the hearts, they get all twisted up. God has a plan to unravel things.
Sure.
Things that people have maybe got twisted in their minds, and maybe they had some ulterior influences at a young age and damaged them, and God can come in there and heal them. God can give them a new heart, a new mind, set them on a straight path, perform a miracle there in their behalf. And God also has a plan available to give us that grace. That grace that is sufficient. That'll carry us through to the next test, to the next trial, to the next whatever it is. God's grace is sufficient. It is adequate. It is enough to carry us through. God has a plan to make that available to each and every one of us. God also has a plan to give us the victory that we need in our lives. Not to stay hunkered down in some corner somewhere, with the devil just beating us over the head and never thinking we can rise again in victory.
Yeah.
But God says, yes, you can. And Jesus proved that on the cross. Though he was put in the tomb, but he didn't stay there. That tomb is still empty. That proves to you and I that the blood of Jesus still has power today. We sang about it today. There's still power in the blood to give us the victory we need in everyday life. And then you think about this. God has a plan. We heard about some of it last night. That he wants to use us as a vessel unto honor.
That's right.
He wants to clean us up. He wants to mold us and to shape us. And not just to set us up on a shelf, as was mentioned, just something pretty to look at. No, he wants to take us down and use us.
Yes.
Something as a useful tool in his hands.
Right.
And I don't think I need to remind us all that there's all kinds of vessels out there that God uses.
That's exactly.
And God has a plan ultimately to get us to heaven. God has a plan. We were just speaking with someone recently, and it's kind of been a personal revelation for me in the last several years that, you know, I don't know how to get to heaven, but God knows how to get me to heaven. And you know, there are things in my life that I would have not chose for myself. This set of trials, the crosses that I had to carry, or whatever, they may not have been the things I chose, but the Lord saw fit that that's what you need, son. That's what you need if you want to make it to my heaven. You need to go through these tests, these trials. You know, just like a professor, a teacher, instructor, and they study their students. And there's some of them that maybe they have struggles over here and others have struggles over there. But they know what is best. And they can customize those lessons just to fit them and just to help them through. And they're willing to stay after class to help tutor them through maybe the difficulties they have. And some may be excellent in math, and others excellent in reading, and others excellent in science, but we all have struggles. And in life, God knows what those are. And God knows how to help us navigate through life and help us bring us to a point where we can sometimes, all we can do is just say, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know where I'm at. I feel lost. Though we may be saved, but yes, Lord, I don't know where I'm going. And the Lord's saying, just hold my hand, child. I got a plan for you. I'm going to take you through this life. And in the end, you'll experience the joys of heaven if you're faithful. Well, I want to read this scripture. We'll get to the dots here in a little bit. Or little specks, little scribbles, whatever you want to call it. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Brother Ivan mentioned this verse last night. And I want to read, we'll start with verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Thank the Lord. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." You know, that's a beautiful message of deliverance.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what he was trying to. And this is Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. It was a dark time he was living in there.
Yes.
The children of Israel, they were captive. It wasn't enjoyable. Being taken to a foreign land. And he's like, no, I have something in mind. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you there. But I have a plan for you to bring you back. All right?
Sure.
Well, truly that is what happened in the process of time. But I want to focus again on the 11th verse. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Doesn't that sound like order? Doesn't that sound like God has it figured out? Doesn't that sound like God is truly God omniscient, God omnipotent? That he has all power and control. He has all knowledge. There's no surprises here. God is never surprised by anything. You know, as humans, we can be caught off guard sometimes. By one another, by ourselves. We're like, where did that come from? Where God, all the time, he's up there and he sees, he knows, and he understands everything. And he's like, okay, well, let's try this. Well, let's try that. You know, nothing surprises him. He always has a plan. A plan to bring us back to him.
Yes.
If we get off kilter, if we get off track and we go off on our own little tangent, God's saying, come on, child. I got a plan for you. It's a plan. It's the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What God is expecting for each and every one of us. Well, I think of, again, in life, there are times, we'll just refer to these little dots I have back here. There are times where in life, we think we have something figured out. And we can look at these dots and say, well, I want to do something with these little dots up here. So we can, in our own feeble mind and understanding, we can start doing something. Like, you know what? I want to make something look neat here. So let's go here. Make some neat little patterns, you know, and try to make something, you know. And in our own understanding, like, well, that looks pretty good. And we're on a star here. Kind of a crude star, you know, kind of a half of a star there. But it looks good to me. And maybe later we'll come back and add something over here or maybe over there. And we'll come along like, well, this looks pretty good. No? Yeah, okay. All right, kind of an extended Z there or whatever. But again, sometimes, and you look at people's lives, and it, that's really all they amount to. Like, what is that?
Yes.
Does that say anything? Is that a pretty picture? And others, oh yeah, that's beautiful. Like, again, the interpretations of some of this modern art. I'm sorry if there's modern art artists in here. I apologize. But yet, sometimes I look at that and I'm like,
that's right.
A three-year-old could do that. Just take a bucket of paint and, you know, and a spray, you know, and then just throw something else on it and there you go. It's worth $1 million. But here, people can try their hardest to do things, and they try so hard, they work so long just to get this. Uh-huh. They're like, oh, well, let's go a little further, we'll do this. And others are looking on, scratching their head, saying, and what did you say that was?
Yeah.
I don't see that, you know? And they're just, okay. But you know, the scripture says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
Yes.
We can't do it alone, saints.
That's right.
We are so foolish, and it looks like that.
That's right.
On our own.
That's right.
And God's saying, child,
yes.
Did you ask me? I can help guide
yes.
your hand. I can help guide your thoughts. I can guide your steps, guide your words, your actions, everything, child. And I want to make something pretty out of it. I want to make something that's useful. I want to portray a message to the world with your life. All right? Well, I think of another scripture. It's in Psalms 37. Let's turn and read that.
Oh, yeah.
Psalms 37, verses 23.
Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord.
That's right. If you go ahead and have all that, Brother Carl, go ahead and recite it. While I'm trying to find it. Well, that's the main point. Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And you can look at this and say, they've fallen. They truly got mixed up in their head, because that makes no sense to me. But you know, the Lord looks on it and says, I still see what I had planned for
yes.
their life. I still yes. see what is possible,
yes.
the potential there. I'm so thankful God sees that. He looks beyond our faults, as the song says. Thank the Lord. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And there's another scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord in all thy ways. Let's read those again. Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Yeah.
You know, you think about this. There's so many folks out there today that they think they have everything figured out. But you know, I've lived life long enough that I have seen those same individuals come to their wits' end.
Yes.
And it seems like there's no hope.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, I've seen some of those individuals that get to their wits' end, and then all they can do is just fall on their face before the Lord. And then I see where the Lord can pick them up.
Right.
Though they fall, and though they stumble, and they stub their toe. And then they acknowledge, they humble down and in repentance say, Lord, I made a mess of things here. And the Lord can pick them up and set them on a straight path. And give them some guidance and directions where something starts looking a little more normal, a little more orderly, where there is something going on there. And God can do that. I'm so thankful for that this morning.
Amen.
Well, there's also a scripture that says, He's not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. That's a plan that God has for every single human being on the face of this earth. That has been here before us, that is here right now, and any of those born in the future. That's God's plan and desire for every single soul. Well, I want to modify this a little bit. Maybe this will help. Maybe you can start getting a little clue here. And I want to refer us back to a scripture I just read in Psalms 37 that said, the steps of a good man. Notice it says a good man. It's not meaning that that man is good within himself, but it's someone that's following after God.
Yeah.
It's someone that's open and receptive to what God wants to do, because God is the only one that's good. Jesus said that himself. He's like, why are you calling me good? God is the only one that's truly good. And truly that is so. But it's meaning the steps of a good man, someone that has invited the Lord, the goodness of the Lord within them, then he can order their steps.
Yeah.
Now, what if I was to start something here, and I probably won't have to go very far, and you guys will start seeing something. I'm going to go out of character here just a little bit for the sake of... So I have drawn up here, I added some numbers. And I don't know about you all, but I remember as a child, I loved the little dot-to-dots. Now, I didn't have to have dots to draw images, but it was still fun. I'm like, I wonder what this is going to be. And I would like to see how far I could draw, you know, and actually figure out what the author was trying to get across. And so we have in life, again, God has an order for our lives. And here's the thing that I want us to get this morning. God is the author, okay, of salvation. God, He is the one, it's His word, it's His church, it's His goodness, it's His spirit, as we heard the other morning. And it's His forgiveness, it's His power, it's everything goes back to God. Everything. We can't take any glory of ourselves. And we know, as the scripture says, God is a jealous God. He will not give His glory to another. So He has this perfect plan in mind. And perhaps most of you all have already figured out what this image is up here now. But you probably didn't know earlier until I added some numbers. Now, I could have really confused you and just scattered the numbers out here, but I tried to help you out a little bit. But we go through life, and there are times when... In fact, let me just draw a little bit. We can go through life and maybe that right there took 10 years. In God's wisdom, He allowed it to be that way. Maybe the first segment here took 9 years, and this last one just 1 year. And then maybe down here, 1 month. And maybe down here, 3 days. And then maybe the next step, 10 years again.
Yeah.
And then maybe up here, 20 years. Really? Yeah, you know, God's timing, He's not restricted by time like we are. Yet He works with time, okay? But yet He sees way into the future. I want us to be reminded again. Remember the story of Moses and the children of Israel. In fact, I want to turn and just read a few scriptures here. I've always been marveled at how God worked. And using Moses, you know, that alone, I cannot, all I can say is that burning bush experience that Moses had, Moses needed that for the task at hand. But even before that, do you realize when Moses took things into his own hands, when he was there under Pharaoh, and he's watching how his own people were being abused, and he's saying, that's not fair. And he took things into his own hand. He attempted to connect the dots how he wanted to. His timing, his way, and he connected the dot himself. And you could have said it was just a big old line across his life, so to speak. That didn't make sense. It was out of character. It was not ordered of the Lord. And God's saying, uh-uh. God's saying, now I have to redo something here, Moses. And I'm going to send you out into the wilderness there for a while. Out in the desert land, out there for 40 years. Working with his father-in-law's sheep. And think what he had prior to that. He had it made. Everything there in Pharaoh's house, in his court. I mean, the future was bright for Moses. Very intelligent young man. But he did something. He got out of order, out of God's plan, and he took that Egyptian's life. And God's saying, uh-uh. No. So God sent him out for 40 years out there. And you could say, perhaps, he finally completed a letter G, all right? That's not good enough by itself. God still had a plan, you see. God still wanted to do something with Moses, and not just with him. It was with the children of Israel. You see, it's not just about you and I as individuals here. It's all about God ultimately, but it's also about the good of the whole. And not just God's people, but it's for all the Gentiles, all the heathens out there that God wants to bring to repentance as well. Well, we have, again, this story in Exodus. I want to read just a few scriptures here. I'm not going to read very many. But in the second chapter, we'll start with verse 23. It says, and it came to pass in process of time. Once you get a hold of that little statement there. In process of time. And that time could be anything. Like I said, it could be seconds, minutes, hours, weeks, months, years. Only God knows. But in the process of time, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. You know, this is a beautiful thought to me. Again, God wasn't surprised by any of this. God knew what was going on, that they were in bondage. God heard every single cry and groan and bottled up all their tears. Yes, all the children of Israel. He knew what was going on there in Egypt. He's saying, I'm not going to leave you here. I have a plan. You see? He remembered the promise he gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had a plan with them. God worked with them. And here it is now, a mass number of the children of Israel. We're not just talking about a few hundred folks here. We're talking well over a million. I don't know the exact number. We're talking a lot of folks. God had a plan for them, though. It wasn't too big for God. I want to read just a few more in the third chapter of Exodus, the next page here. It says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I want to stop right there, folks. God knows our sorrows.
Yes, he does.
God knows our pain.
Thank you, Lord.
Even when you cannot express it or put it into words, God knows what they are. And even if you're beyond capability of shedding a tear over it, and all you can do is just groan, God sees and hears that too. And he heard the cries of the children of Israel. He said, those are my people. And I got a plan for you. An expected end. Well, Verse 8, "And I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt." So here he is talking to Moses, saying, "I got a plan for you, Moses. I need you to follow through on it." Yeah. And we know the rest of the story with Moses. And it says here, "Who am I that I should go?" You know, Moses, I think, could reach the point where he realized he couldn't rely upon himself. But then it's almost as he went too far and he was focusing too much on himself. He's like, "Well, how can I do this?" He's like, "I'm slow, but I can't speak, you know, I can't do this." And God's saying, "But yes, you can." But the message in these little scriptures that I want to get across here, I want to focus on Moses here for a little bit. Because again, in our mind's eye, we're thinking, Moses, that's been out here, he's too old for this, isn't he? No. The scripture says, with God, all things are possible. We are the ones, as humans, that we are the ones that restrict God way too many times. We're the ones that look at something and say, that's impossible, or that'll never happen, or there is no way. And God's saying, yes way. God's saying, I can do it if you allow me to. And you know, though Moses was up in years, God had a plan for him to go back to Egypt. And we all know the rest of the story. That it was Moses that led the children of Israel. Now I will say this, once he led them out of Egypt, that was quite a miraculous event in itself. That many people. And led them safely over through the Red Sea. And God swallowed up their enemies, Pharaoh's army. That was a mighty miracle. And you would think that that would be enough in itself. And all the, you think of all the plague, the 10 plagues that God, all those miracles even before that, before God delivered them out of Egypt, all those things, you would think that would be enough to bolster their faith and confidence in God. But yet, they failed. And they fell short of what God wanted to do with them right then. It was only two young men, Joshua and Caleb, that actually believed. When they went over and spied the land of Canaan, saying, "Oh, God is well able. He can bring it. It doesn't matter what size of giants or the walled cities. God can, look what He just did with us."
Right.
And you know, that is a challenge for you and I. These are two young men way back there that got a hold of the power and the grace of God. And they believe with full confidence, "God, you're well able. We know you can, Lord."
Yes.
And it was because of that faith and confidence of the Lord that they were the ones that actually made it into the land of Canaan. And not the rest of them at their age and older. But you know, through all of that, Moses started leading the children of Israel. Of course, the vast majority of them didn't believe. So he's like, "All right, another 40 years. You're going to wander around in the wilderness here until we get rid of y'all." But you know, it wasn't really that mindset that I think God had. It wasn't like, "Well, just get rid." No. I believe through all of that, God had a purpose. Now think of this, folks, saints. What if that part of the story was not recorded in the scriptures about the children of Israel wandering around for 40 years in the wilderness? You know, it looked like a mess. Have you ever looked at the little map? If you have the Thompson chain, you can look back there and see where they wandered. It's like, what are they? Why are they doing that? It was God's. God allowed it to happen, yes, and there were some victories they won, and there were some more miracles. The manna and their shoes didn't wear out, and all those things. It was amazing what God did, preserving His people, but it was for the young. Those who were not at the age of accountability that didn't reject God, when the land of Canaan was spied on, and when the 12 spies came back, he was giving someone an opportunity. And he wanted to teach the young to say, okay, your parents and your grandparents, they didn't believe and they didn't accept, but I'm not going to cut them off immediately. I'm still going to provide for them, you see? And even Moses himself didn't make it over to the land of Canaan. I believe God wanted him to go originally, but he fell short as well. But you know, even in that, God was full of love and mercy, and he went and buried him himself. How about that? You see, though Moses fell short in some areas, God still had mercy on him. And though the parents and grandparents fell short, God still spared their lives for 40 years and provided for them, all the while leading up and bringing up these younger generation that they could learn of God and his goodness and his ways and all of the promises that were given to them. Like, child, just hang on. You'll get there one of these days. And then can you imagine Joshua and Caleb thinking, 40 years of this, but you know what? They put their hand in God's hand, and God is the one that led them faithfully all through those dark, dreary days where they're thinking, we could have already been over there, but they didn't allow that bitterness and that resentment of looking over at one of those 10 spies, the unbelieving spies, and saying, it's your fault. You know, they could have done that,
that's right.
But they didn't.
Thank the Lord. Yes.
And the fact it proves it so because they were the ones that led after Moses died off. They were the ones that led the children of Israel on over through the Jordan and up to Jericho. Performed some more mighty miracles. God proved that I'm still with these people. And Joshua and Caleb, my hand is on you. Because they were faithful to the Lord in their own individual, allowed God to start connecting the dots in their lives. Even though there were times or some little pauses, or sometimes maybe things went really quick, maybe other times it took a long time, but yet they allowed God to start connecting the dots.
Yeah.
And then in the process of time, we start seeing something developing here. Though it's not complete, and you know, let's just think of it in our lives today. Though our life is not fully ended, we're still here on this earth. God still wants to use us. God still, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, God wants to use you. Because none of us know when the end of our life may be. Some may die of an affliction. Some may be in a car wreck. Some may be just of natural causes, whatever the case is. But only God knows. And God has a plan for each and every soul. Well, and you think of this with Moses and Joshua. You know, this is recorded in the scriptures for our benefit too. There was a benefit to the children of Israel. God gave them manna every morning. That was a wonderful benefit. They didn't starve to death, and they could have. But God said, no, I'm not going to let you starve out here. I'm going to provide something for you. And you know what that tells me, dear ones? That even in the dry times, even the times where it feels like we're just kind of wandering, we haven't given up on the Lord, yet the Lord is faithful to still feed us and to take care of us and nourish us. But notice this too. His desire was not for them to stay wandering around in the wilderness. And he didn't want them to go back to Egypt for sure. He wanted to lead them on over to the land of Canaan. The land flowing with milk and honey. The fertile land, luscious and green and beautiful. And God provided all those things for them. Gardens already established, and cities already established, and the fields already established, all those things, and the wonderful fruit and everything, and the shade trees, and the little creeks, and the rivers, and the little bubbling brooks, and all those things. God had it provided for them. But they had to believe. And you know, you think of the little battle of Jericho there. I can only imagine the Joshua and those that are marching around the city. I can imagine that last little segment seemed like it was taking forever. And this is looking so foolish. We're not being able to say a word, and all the ones on the walls of the city are like, What are you fools doing? You're not saying anything? And you're just marching around and then that's it? Day after day? You fools! But no, God had a plan. And as long as they followed God's plan, it would eventually connect the dots. Boom. And that part is complete. And truly, when they finished that, after 7 days and the seventh day, walking on it seven more times, and then blow the trumpets, and then the walls came tumbling down. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful demonstration of the power of God saying, I'm still with you, children of Israel. You're still my people. And it completed another piece of the puzzle, so to speak. And those young that had walked around for 40 years, they're getting up in years then. They're like, wow, this is amazing. And to think, you know what? Though this city is destroyed by all these walls, there's more to come. There's more victories. Yes, there's more battles, but there's more victories ahead. And there's more things, more beautiful things God has prepared for them. And you know, truly that is the case with you and I. It doesn't just stop at one big battle. There's more ahead. But let's not be discouraged. As the saying goes, I've read the back of the book, and we win. With God on our side, we win every single time. He's never lost a battle.
Amen.
Never will lose a battle. Because He's God. He created everything as subject at His feet. He can squash it when He wants to squash it. He can kick it when He wants to kick it. He can lift it up when He wants to lift it up. He can do anything. But we as humans, we can't. And He sees the whole picture. And in the process of time, it starts developing and we start seeing an image up here where God was working all the while. And then continues on. That can seem like a long trek. One long segment. And you think about not just the children of Israel, but throughout time, God was leading everything up to giving His Son as our Savior. And you know, it was no accident at the place where Jesus was born.
That is true.
God had a purpose in this. Though His people, the children of Israel, the Jews, though they weren't wealthy and they didn't have a big empire, but yet He allowed the Roman Empire to be in place and established at this time. And after Jesus had died and the resurrection, He's ascended to heaven, the Holy Ghost has sent, and He starts sending out the gospel workers throughout the whole world. Guess what was in place at that time? The Roman highways, where it could made it so much easier to travel throughout the known world. They didn't have to make the highways. They could travel easily from one city to the next. With this wonderful complex of highways, stone highways that the Romans had already built. The heathens had built for them. They didn't have to build them themselves. God allowed that in His timing. Isn't that wonderful? That even in our individual lives, God can do things like that. It can be the outright sinners. It can be strangers out there that God is paving a way for our life and working in other people's lives that have no idea what God is doing. And they don't even care about God. But God is using that in our lives. And He's connecting the dots to bring out something beautiful in our life. And we were totally oblivious to it. And so was everyone else. Till it's finally connected. Like, oh, now I get it. Now I see it. Isn't that beautiful? And again, you go on with Apostle Paul. Think of what all he went through. The beatings, the imprisonments, the persecution, all those things. And he's writing these letters while he's in prison to all the different congregations trying to encourage them. And I can promise you one thing. Apostle Paul didn't think of himself as a wonderful author and I'm going to get rich off of these writings. That was not his ambition. That was not his idea. But God was orchestrating all along. Allowed him to be put into prison saying, now I want you to write a letter. Because God's thinking in his mind, he has a plan that 2,000 years later, someone's going to be reading your very letters you wrote in prison. And that's what's going to encourage them and help bust them out of their prison and their life. You see, Apostle Paul had no clue what was going on. And he didn't have to.
That's right.
Because God was connecting the dots. It wasn't Apostle Paul. It wasn't Silas. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Joshua. And it's not you and I. It's God helping us connect the dots. As long as we follow Him and His will and His Spirit.
Yeah.
And saying, Lord, I can't do it on my own here. You know, it's a beautiful picture. And we look at the completion here. And in the end, this is all God is after. He wants to see a reflection of Himself in our lives. He wants to, because He's a jealous God. It doesn't, you know, there's songs that are talking about our names being in the lights in the marquee and all these other little things. Oh, well, look, and books titled after me and songs and all these others. Like, no, it's not about me. Brother Marty talked about that this morning. The praise isn't about, oh, Brother Marty or Brother Danny or whatever. No. A praise and glory goes all the way back to God, the Creator, the King, the Almighty, powerful Father, Heavenly Father, someone that has had a plan all along. And this plan, ultimately, as I mentioned earlier in the scripture in Jeremiah, to give us an expected end.
That's right.
God wants to bring all these things together. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Though it may look like a mess or may not make any sense, but God starts adding some features and some little details along the way. And if we're patient, we'll start seeing God's plan taking place. And you know what? That gives us courage then to say, He took me this far. I know He can take me the rest of the way. And then those looking on our lives are saying, well, they were able to be faithful to the Lord, and God performed miracles and delivered them, and God did all these things for them. Well, then maybe He can do it for me too.
Yes.
You know, isn't that amazing how God works this? Yes. That we're all in this together. There's no big I's and little U's. No, we're all the same.
That's right.
Just flesh and blood, just a little lump of cake, a lump of clay. We can't mold and shape ourselves, but God can.
That's right.
And we can't remove those little pebbles the sister talked about last night that can cause us to explode and to not be useful. But God can take those little things out. And it may be connecting one of these little dots. It may be a process of time.
That's right.
Of trying to purge and purify our lives. It just maybe even a little mindset, something we just always think has to be a certain way. And God's saying, I want to change your mind on that. And He'll give us some scriptures. He'll maybe send us through some tests or some trials. And finally say, oh, I got that little, there's a little speck of something right here. And it may look tiny. But you know what? That tiny little thing right there can destroy a soul. It can destroy an aircraft. That get caught in one of the fuel filters and plug up the fuel. One of the jet engines can go out and they can spiral down and kill hundreds. One little thing.
Yes.
And it can destroy our own little lives. We think, well, that's just one little thing, Lord. Who cares about that? God's looking on and saying, no. You're trying to connect the dots yourselves. You're thinking that's okay. And what's the scripture say? Every way of man is right in his own eyes. He's like, well, that's okay, Lord. So-and-so did. He's like, but no, this is about you. And you can't. God's saying, no, I have to remove that. Or I have to straighten that. Or I have to change that. Or I have to erase that. And let me put another mark here. That way, in the end, it's the image that God had in mind to begin with. And it doesn't look like a piece of crazy modern art that people have to walk by and just scratch their head and have to spend hours trying to figure out what in the world is that mess. But they can look upon our lives and say, wow, only God could do that. And guess what? All the glory goes back to Him. That's why we're here on this earth anyway, isn't it? To give God the glory. You pray for me that I allow the Lord to connect the dots in my life.